went to children's church, there were a few of us with some tears up above, because Violet, who we've been praying for rather steadily for quite some time, was out of the hospital, was here, and is in children's church. So God answers prayers. Amen. Well, I don't know about how many of you this is true for, but it certainly has been true for me. I have been glued to television. I have been glued to when I've been here and not at home, to those sites on my computer where I could catch the Pope addressing Congress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know about you, but it has been for me a heartwarming, most of the time, experience to listen to him. You know, when someone can stand in front of Congress and remind them of the Golden Rule, there's some good stuff happening in the world. Reverend Brad and I actually switched our preaching schedule. And I was originally supposed to preach on this passage last week. And I love how God works. I'm glad to preach on it this week, because I have been listening to the Pope all week long. And did any of you hear him last night at the families thing in Philadelphia? If you've not too many of you. That's kind of interesting. I was kind of watching it, and then I stopped watching it for a little bit because that couple from Australia kind of made me a little upset. But God bless them. How same-sex marriage is going to affect their marriage is beyond me. But that, you know, beside the point. But toward the end of his statement, of his time, and he did almost the whole thing off the cuff, his speech last night. At the end, he asked his translator, because he said, "We'll see you all tomorrow." What time was Mass tomorrow anyway? You know, he is so personable. So let me stop talking about the Pope, at least for a little while, and get on to James and this passage from James. James, like many of the ancient writers, had a kind of a dualistic view of the world. That meant that there were things that were of earth or of the world, and there were things that were of God. In fact, the term double-minded kind of comes from that sort of idea. It's a phrase used to describe how humanity so often functions. You know, how we a lot of times have our feet in one place, maybe our spirit someplace else, and that there is this kind of conflict that oftentimes goes on. So when James refers to the world, he's using it as a way of contrasting with the things of God. And James says that the wisdom that comes from below, in other words, from the world, can lead to these kinds of things. It can lead to envy. You know, as we look at other people and see, oh, they have more than I do. To selfish ambition, trying to get up one on top of somebody else. To disorder, Congress. To wickedness of every kind. That's a pretty all-encompassing statement, isn't it? Wisdom from below. But then he contrasts that with what he calls wisdom from above. And he says, wisdom from above yields these things. Purity. Wisdom from above is peaceable. It is gentle. It is willing to yield. It is full of mercy and good fruits. And it is without partiality or hypocrisy. Wow. Two very different ways of being in the world. And so James exhorts the early church and through the scriptures ourselves to, as he says, draw near to God, so God will draw near to us. You see, I see life, the spiritual life at least, as kind of a continual struggle. I don't know about you, but it is for me. It's a struggle. We want to think that when we have one of those conversion experiences, you know, how many have had one of those? At least one, you know, maybe several. You know, time when you, let me just use the Baptist terminology, you receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. You know, that raised more hands. Does that get more hands up? You know, sometimes you got to use the right phraseology, you know, to get people to understand what you're saying. There's a continual struggle because we continue to live in this world even though we want in our hearts to have these other, this purity, this gentleness, this being full of mercy, good works. And so I think our conversion is kind of an ongoing thing. I've got some. It's kind of an ongoing thing. Almost a daily thing, if you will. You know, you get up in the morning and you kind of dust yourself off and you say, God, help. Yeah, it is one of my favorite prayers. You know, if you can't pray anything else, that's a good one. Help. Help me through this day to see the world as you would see the world. And conversion is really, I think, a process, a work of spiritual transformation. It's not something that happens all at once. In the old Wesleyan theology, you know, we would talk about how you'd have a conversion experience, but then the rest of your life you spent kind of trying to figure out what that meant. You were always going on to perfection, never really getting there quite. But it was an ongoing experience. You had that moment where you said, yes, God. As James says, I want to be your friend. And then you work on that day after day after day. There's another concept here about friendship, I think, that's really important. You know, I think a lot of us have friends in life. Some of us have more friends than others. You know, but we either choose our friends or they choose us, and sometimes those are good choices and sometimes they're not. Amen?
Amen.
And there are times when we become like the friends we have around us. One of the things that church growth folks have noticed is that after a person becomes involved in a particular local church, and after they have not just become involved, but can made a commitment to it and go week by week and become a part of that particular family of faith, after about a year and a half or two, most of their friends are in the church and not outside of it. I wonder why. So that time when folks coming who are members of the church have the best possibility for evangelistic outreach is, guess what, those first couple of years, because they've still got friends outside that they could talk to and maybe convince to come. But after a couple of years, all your friends are sitting around you, you know? So it changes a lot. I marvel sometimes at some of the stuff that I see out of college campuses, especially some of the stuff that comes, I would suppose, out of sororities too, but mostly out of fraternities. You know, every now and then, some fraternity on some campus somewhere gets kind of cut off. They've done something that, for some reason, both the college and their national organization says, you know, that kind of behavior is not what we're about. If you know, you know, we're actually in that time frame when people are going through pledge processes and so forth. And, you know, some of the stuff that you hear about, you kind of do wonder about. In our own state, in Florida, not that long ago, Florida A&M? I'm a marching band person. You know, I got my bachelor's of marching band. Actually, it was a bachelor of business administration, but you know, my bachelor's degree is actually underneath in the plaque, the bachelor's of the marching band certificate, because I spent 4 years doing that and loved every minute of it. But evidently, there are some marching bands that have kind of rituals. And in that particular ritual not long ago, the drum major was killed. I can't help but wonder that the friends that developed in fraternities, the friends that developed in that marching band, you know, sort of built on these not so great ideas of how you should behave in the world. I'm told that people who come into sobriety, after a period of time, you better stop having friends outside of AA or NA. And you're kind of encouraged not to go back to those friends that you had before you got sober. I wonder why. The reason is they're going to keep drinking and drugging. You know? And you want to be a part of a group of people that's no longer doing that. Our friendships matter. Our friendships matter. And James encourages us to become friends with God so that God can come close to us, to have as a primary relationship in our own lives a relationship with God, the one that we reach out to, that we pray to, that we listen to, that we seek to do the will of. And when we keep that kind of friendship alive, our lives change. They become different. Not only do our friends become different, but our behavior in the world is different too. It is filled more with things like peace and gentleness, mercy, good fruits. I think it's wonderful to go back to the Pope that he has declared later in this year a year of mercy. Wow. I think the Pope is a friend of God. I think he is. And I just want to encourage us to be friends with God too, because it will make a difference in how we are in the world. And as this sort of becomes more and more the case in more and more Christian churches, whether they be Protestant or Catholic or Orthodox, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, MCC, it doesn't matter. If we live into our friendships with God, then peace, justice will become more than just words, but they will become the ways in which we operate, and it will become the way in which the world begins to operate. Oh, Pastor, you have a pretty big idea of how the world could change. Yes, I do. Because it starts with each individual person seeking to become better friends with God each day, each day. May it be so for each of us. Would you pray with me? God, we bless you and we thank you. Because as we turn to you, you turn to us. In fact, you seek us out even in those times when we're hardly aware that that's what's going on. But something in our spirit is lacking until we can find it in you. So allow us to become your friends. And in becoming your friends, to become more like you in our day-to-day journeys on earth. Help us to see the world as you would see it, as a place where peace is possible, where mercy is possible, where justice is possible. Because each week when we pray that your kingdom come and your will be done, we are simply asking to be your friends and to live out that relationship each day. Thank you that you do not let us alone, but that you seek to be with us all along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.